Good morning. It is great to have you here this morning. You know, I know that several of you know this, but our worship pastor, Mike Crawford, has been on sabbatical for 3 months, and this is his first Sunday back with us. Can we just give him a hand? We are fortunate and blessed, I should say, great folks kind of filling in, but this Mike was in the office this week, and it was just great to have him around and great to be back. It's great. So in part of Mike's prayer, you heard that he was referring to God kind of in three ways: God as the good shepherd, God as the good woman, God as the good father. And so for those of you who've been around with us for the last 5 weeks, you know that we have been in Luke 15. And in Luke 15, we've really been examining this whole notion of being lost, and then in the context of being lost, then who is it that finds us? And I just point that out to say we're not extending the series or anything like that, but to say that I think that that has some relevance for us as we think about today. Today we're going to look at a psalm, a common psalm. It's one of the probably the one that folks start to say by heart, if it's something that they start to get the words and they could say it. It's not Psalm 23, so it's maybe the psalm right after that. It's Psalm 139. And what I want to do before we go into that is to kind of build a framework for what we're going to do today before we actually look specifically at the psalm. First thing I want to do is just to say that, as Tim was talking about, that when the good shepherd, and he was making allusions to God as the good shepherd, you understand that the folks back in that day were pastoral in nature, right? So this whole notion of sheep and shepherd really connected to them. And I just want you to kind of recall that as we're going through the midst of this psalm. The second thing is, it's really kind of a difficult process to think about preaching on the psalms, because the psalms don't lend themselves to that. They're poetic in nature. And really, the psalms are intended to be meditated upon, to be prayed, to be sung, right? So I'm going to preach on it today. But we're going to spend some time really, rather than looking at explication of Scripture this morning, I think what I'd really like to do is to spend some time meditating and really just kind of digging into the psalm and see what it has to say to us. The other thing I want to say around this particular psalm, that it's really intensely personal. It's really the psalmist's confession to God. It's the psalmist's confession, prayer. It's this sense of longingness and this sense of, this is who I am in you, God. And part of what I want us to do is to see if we can live in that a little bit this morning. So let's look at the psalms. Let's look at this particular psalm, and then want to come back and then see how we might start to unpack it. So it's Psalm 139, and it's in two parts. You'll see it's 139, 1 through 18, and then we'll go 19 through 24, because that's where there seems to be a break, actually, in the tone of what's happening. So Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as a light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, for one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. So now 18 through 24. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you? Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them among my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we're going to look at this more specifically. We're going to look at there are five movements within this, but here's how I'd like to suggest that we do that this morning. Essentially, what I'd like to do is to paint some word pictures for you. And so as I'm painting these word pictures, because the Psalms are intended to be meditative, what I'd like to ask you to do is perhaps close your eyes. You don't have to. I'm not going to point you out if you don't. There are some index cards in the pews around you. If you're in the balcony, they should be on the end of the pews, I think, and there should be some pencils. If you're in the foyer area, there should be some on the end of the pews as well. You can grab an index card and just maybe write words, some thoughts as we're going through this. Possibly even, I know they're small index cards, we didn't get the 4x6s, but you could even just kind of start to sketch out some pictures that you're getting from this. The point is to really have you be formed by what's happening, okay? We're going to dim the lights just a little bit. So what I'm going to do is unpack the Psalms in the course of the five movements. And in the course of those five movements, I'll provide just a bit of context, but I'm not going to get into this is the historical context. These are the words that have this meaning in the Hebrew. That's not the intent this morning. The intent this morning is to live in this psalm and see what it is that God may be saying to us. So let's start in. The first movement is actually verses 1 through 6. And this is the psalmist's attempt. This is the psalmist's declaration of being known by God intensely and personally. You might say that this is the psalmist's intent to be known by God as a sheep would be known by a shepherd. So if you can put yourself in the context of being a sheep who's known by a shepherd. Picture yourself as the sheep. You, God, are my shepherd, and you know me because you have examined me. You know my spots, my bleats. You know how I walk. You know where I wander. You, shepherd, know my personalities and my tendencies. You know where I like to roam, where I like to wander. You know where and when I'm afraid. You know me so well that you know what I do sometimes before I even start to do it. The shepherd sifts through all of his sheep to know how and where I am journeying through this life. I am known so personally that God knows what I will say even before I say it. You hem me in, which just means that you keep close guard over me in order to protect me. O shepherd, I stand in awe of how well I am known by you. Would you just take a moment now to reflect on that passage and maybe start to think, write, just some things that come to you in the context of that. Verses 7 through 12 is the second movement. And in this movement, the sense is there is no escaping God. I wonder if now you can picture yourself as a coin that's lost in a dark, unlit basalt house. There is no place that I can go to hide from you. Your spirit and your face continually search for me. There are neither heights nor depths which can separate me from you. If I were caught in the rafters of the house, you would find me. And you are a God who will find me in the lowest crevices of the baseboards. From the time when the sun rises to the time when the sun sets, your hand will find and hold me. Even in this dark place, where no light passes through, and to me the sunrise might as well be like the sunset, to you the sunset is like the sunrise, because I cannot be hidden from you. You will find me. Again, take a few moments to kind of put yourself in that place and see what comes to you. The third movement, verses 13 through 18, it's a declaration that God was with us from the beginning. Perhaps here you can picture yourself as a prescient embryo. You formed and shaped me, and who I am at my core, my very essence, is because of you. How can I not be thankful for that? I am who I am because of you. So I thank you for making me this way. You know everything about me. Who and where I come from is not and cannot be hidden from you. You were with me before the beginning. Who I will be and what I will do is not lost on you. What I've just confessed is unfathomable to me. I can't begin to understand how or why you created me. Yet I'm here. And I look out and I see that it's not just me, but you created those around me. And you created those around them. You created all of us, and still you care about me. Again, we'll pause here. fourth movement, found in verses 19 through 22, can be characterized with the question, what about those in opposition to God? While I'm with you, Lord, there are those who are not. And those who are not, I wish they'd be taken from my presence. And what about those who speak against you or whose words oppose the very thing that you stand for? I stand against those that stand against you, God. Your enemies are my enemies. I stand against those who would oppose the beauty of your creation. Your enemies are my enemies. What you have created is not for me to oppose. We'll pause here. Final movement in verses 23 and 24, ending where we started. You have searched me, God. Search me again. Examine me as the shepherd examines his sheep, as the woman who lost the coining examines what is found. Know my heart, know my thoughts. Know what I am made to be. Could it be that I might be one of those who stand against you and oppose you? Could it be that I'm the one who opposes what you have created? O Lord my God, I want to stand with you for the rest of my days. Take one more pause here. So I want to ask you, what is the picture that was coming to you as we were spending time meditating on Psalm 139? Yeah. So the comment is that reflecting on the passage about you know my innermost beings, and he just went to Union Station to see the Body Revealed exhibit, and just that there they show the bone growth, and just the notion that God, in as we think of them, God, someone so large, to use his words, understands and knows us in that kind of minutia, that intimate. Thank you. Other comments? What was being revealed to you through Psalm 139? Yeah.
I got the image of being like a book, and that I was interacting with the author as he was reading it over.
Okay, so Sam's comment is that the image of a book, and that he was engaging with the author as he was kind of developing it or reading it? He's reading what he's already written, and he's somehow engaging with the author there. Other thoughts, other kind of inklings for folks. Yeah, in the back. Great, so she grew up on a pig farm, and so picturing herself as a livestock, as an animal, it wasn't too hard. But the notion then, as a shepherd would know a sheep in such a way that the sheep might not even know herself and what that's like. Great, thank you. Yeah. Okay, the notion of that you can run, but you can't hide. And even in our attempts to run from God, God knows us, and God will pursue us. Thank you. Any other thoughts, reflections here? Yeah, sure, Kevin.
The verse on know my anxious thoughts makes a lot more sense to me after reckoning with the fact that God always knows us, knows where we are, knows what we've done, who we are. That creates some anxiety.
Okay. So Kevin's comment is know my anxious thought. The fact that we are so known by God actually could create anxiety. Did I get that right? Yeah, it could create anxiety. And there is this sense, right, that to be known so well could be this thing that throws us off, except that we know more, that as we start to understand the knower and how the knower searches after us, pursues us, keeps looking for us, keeps developing us, that gives us something. I want to make some connections here, and truly this morning, you may walk away and it's like, wow, this wasn't church, but this morning I just wanted us to kind of spend some time. We do a lot of explication here, and sometimes I think we need to pull back and just let the scripture speak to us. But just want to make one connection here as it relates to what Psalm 139, what it's speaking to me, particularly this week. This notion that God forms and shapes us is just evident throughout here. And I'm amazed by that God is our former and our shaper. He knows our very essence. And the psalmist expresses thanks because God knows us so intimately. Sometimes I wonder if we're willing to see, like it was mentioned previously, if we're willing to see what God sees in us. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Just another kind of a stretch on a Sunday morning here. On the back of your index card, if you'll turn it over for me, what I'd like to ask you to do is, could you write down two ways in which you are gifted by God? The God who has formed and shaped you. What are two ways that God has formed and shaped you in a way that's gifted, that's characterized by giftedness? What are two gifts? What are two talents to make it even easier? Now, here's what I'd like to ask you to do. So hopefully you've been able to just jot a couple things out. And I know this is a stretch, and so you're just going to have to hang in with me here. Is what I'm going to ask you to do is to turn to the folks around you in kind of groups of four or five. I understand that you might not know those folks around you, and I think that's okay. When we talk about being community here, turn to the folks around you, and will you just take groups of four or five, and in your group, will you just take a moment to share with your group what your giftedness is? I mean, how is it that you have been formed and shaped by God to be gifted? Turn to the folks around you to do that. If you didn't do that thing because you didn't feel like doing it, well, you have a chance as you're turning to come up with it. Okay, so if we can all come back together. Thank you for doing that. It is difficult for me to read and meditate on Psalm 139 without also being drawn to Genesis. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. The God who created us is the God who shepherds over us and guides us is the God who searches on his hands and knees through the cracks and crevices for us, is the God who hikes up his robe to find us. But it begins with our creation. And God proclaimed that creation good. Sometimes I think, as it relates to Psalm 139, that opposition at the end of the passage, it's us. We don't believe that we were created good. We don't believe that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes I think that not only don't we believe it, but we can't proclaim that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And I wonder sometimes if we might secretly delight in being lost, because we don't believe that our Creator, who made us and who searches for us, declares that we are good. That's the message of being found. That our Creator, who made us, will search for us. We are good. Let's spend time living into our gifts. Let's pray. God, we ask you this morning to search us, examine us in only the ways that you can. We want to proclaim that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We want to believe that you as Creator, our Shepherd, our Searcher, our Finder. And in order to get there, God, we also have to understand that you have gifted us. You who created us and examined us, you have gifted us. Allow us this day and this week moving forward to live into our giftedness. Surround us with folks who will remind us of our giftedness. Will you continue to search after us so that we can be reminded of how you have gifted us, so that we can proclaim, as the psalmist proclaims, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made.